backwards, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You are listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously. Hosted by He'll Let the Rhythm Pull You In and He Will Touch It, David Lim. And me, I'm spinning round, 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 round like a record, Joel Babington. Hello, David. How are you doing?
Good, JB. This is definitely going to be a very fun episode, isn't it? I can feel that sexy body language energy emanating through the screen right now from you.
I am so looking forward to this, David. I actually have a bit of a... It's an announcement, and I'm too scared to say it online because I don't want people to be watching too closely, but I think I'm finally ready to be in a monogamous relationship.
I thought you already were.
I already was, but like, I am ready to have my Stan card for the Minogues triply stamped.
Well, doing the Body Language album really is like tier 4 or 5 into the initiation process. Like, the induction's about to be completed. You know, you've gone through 90 of the slides in this training module. And I think today's going to be it. We're going to have the graduation ceremony at the end of this episode, guys. Stay tuned. We're going to go live from our Instagram. He's going to have a sexy chocolate hat with ballerinas dancing on top, a little scroll.
I am ready. But yes, I'm just so like, it's all clicked into place for me. Like, as I've said many times, always love Kylie, always huge respect. But I haven't been sort of like off book or, you know, she didn't mean to me as much as she did for everyone else, but it's just all clicked into pace. And I'm like, I get it. And I've been missing out my whole life.
It's kind of a generational thing as well. You know, this album, the kind of early 2000s Kylie, was when I was in high school. I was really discovering and loving Kylie properly. So I was there in real time for that journey. But, you know, we're very happy that we're now, what, 20 plus years into this. The reason we got a massive kick up our ass to do this Body Language album finally is because she announced towards the end of last year, to mark the 20th anniversary of this album, she's going to put it out on vinyl. Now, you and I have pre-ordered.
I have pre-ordered, David. And during the research and preparation for this episode, just I can't wait even more for this vinyl to arrive.
Oh, yeah, it's going to look stunning on my display. You're going to have it spinning around like a record, literally in your living room.
Literally.
We're going to have a good old twirl to it. Now, you said that you feel like, okay, now you're ready to be in a monogamous relationship. Joel, the level of commitment you had, you went to the Kylie pop-up store in London. I couldn't even be asked to queue, but you did that. And
yeah,
you got me
straight back from holiday, straight to the Kylie store.
Off the jet, straight onto the high street, queuing up to enter our Kylie shop. And you got me a Body Language t-shirt for Christmas.
Yes.
So thank you for that. I should be wearing it right now.
You should be, darling. I actually think you need your monogamous status revoked.
Get bumped a tier down. Well, hopefully I can redeem myself with this episode.
Absolutely. I was probably what people would conceive monogamous to casual people, but you know how serious we are as the pop fans.
Yeah,
this lightly.
Exactly. This is like getting a master's degree, whereas before it's kind of like, Minogue okay.
Masters.
I mean, that could be the doctorate for Dr. _ Joel B.
It could be.
It could be, guys. This could be the night for it. Listen, if you're vaguely familiar with Kylie's 2000s catalogue, you would have heard of Body Language. You may even love a couple of the tracks from it. But, you know, just even thinking back, Joel, to when I was in high school and this album coming out and looking back to where we are now, it does feel like hopefully it's time for there to be more conversations and reappraisals of this very underrated Kylie album. Fever casts such a long shadow that it was kind of difficult for Body Language to shine and have its moment. So we really hope you guys, maybe by the end of this episode, you have a newfound appreciation for it, if you didn't already.
Absolutely. Now, Davo, before we start spinning round, 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 round like a record, instead of a 5-star review for this episode, we have received such a lovely email that we would love to read out today.
Yes, this one's from Patrick. Patrick from New York City.
Hello, America!
We've cracked America. There
just
you go.
Like Kylie around this time.
Exactly. Power of the Minogue. So Patrick says, hi, David and Joel. I recently discovered your podcast when I saw the Girls Can't Catch Dolly Rocker's Mini Viva episode retweeted by someone on X. Oh, Patrick's very up with it. He's calling it X.
Also fitting for a Kylie episode.
Yeah, when I see X, I was like, I think of the Kylie album. You mean Twitter, right? Patrick said, been going back through a ton of episodes and have been loving it. So much nostalgia and fun, especially the Spice Girls, Girls Aloud, Sugar Babe stuff. I listened to the Free Me episode over the weekend. It's probably my favorite album of all time. So it's such a pleasure to listen to. I have the vinyl version of the album framed up on my wall in my condo. Truly one of my most prized possessions. Keep them coming. Best, Patrick.
Patrick, thank you so much. That is so lovely. God bless whoever retweeted us on X for you to find the episode. He followed it up with, I replied with like such a lovely email, got his permission if we could read it out. He sent us a picture of his Free Me vinyl and David Lim, so jealous in the best possible way.
Oh, it's real. Yeah, there it is. He's not fibbing.
We still haven't had a Free Me vinyl release, everyone, but we are getting A Girl Like Me on vinyl for Record Store Day, which I absolutely can't wait for. But that's enough about Spice World for now. If you are loving what we are doing, please do leave us a lovely 5-star review. Hit that subscribe button, tell a friend, and don't forget to follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. Right, David, shall we get into reading Kylie's body language?
Jolie B, I just want to tell people, as a bit of foreshadowing, some very interesting names that you might come across on today's episode that you probably wouldn't hear on any other Kylie episodes that we may or may not do in the future. Names like Sean Paul, Ludacris, Miss Dynamite, Justin Timberlake, Janet Jackson, Prince. And no, we're not doing an episode on the MOBO Awards. This is how special body language is. It's such a one-off in Kylie's discography that I think when we get, let's jump in that time machine to go back to 2003, you're going to have a blast.
All right, let's, you know, for the time machine, because I am ready.
And let's meet up in February 2003, JB, at one of the busiest weeks in music. We've got the Brit Awards and the Grammys within 3 days of each other. Okay.
I mean, who schedules this? Do you think everyone that, you know, is transatlantic in a way of they're big in both America and the UK. Do you think they're catching up in duty free? Do you think they're chatting in the first class plane bar? Still stroking the Brit in one hand if they want.
Yeah, absolutely. You can just imagine the scenes. And yeah, those poor publicists and agents and everyone that has to, you know, clamour around and get things together. But JB, our Kylie performed at the Brits with Justin Timberlake. It was part of his set. He did Cry Me a River and Like I Love You and then launched into a cover of Blondie's Rapture. And that's where Al Kylie struts out, rapping that famous Debbie Harry verse.
Wow. She came out looking absolutely phenomenal.
The rapping from Debbie Harry, a bit of foreshadowing into the body language era. We didn't know.
Yeah, giving a soft launch to everyone what's to come.
This was a big tabloid story at the time. And I don't know, JB, if you were aware of the pictures that were circulating of this performance. Mm. It was Justin cupping Kylie's bum in the middle of this performance. That picture was world news. Let me tell you, in Australia, it was in all the papers. Like, it was, you know, that kind of faux shock of like, oh no, Kylie's like 12 years his senior. Like, oh, scandals, you know?
Oh, well, I didn't ever really think about the age gap. It was more just sort of like saucy. It kind of did have that similar feeling of when the Britney, Madonna, Christina kiss happened, there were like posters of that everywhere in the Sun and all that kind of thing on the front page. It kind of felt similar to that in the way of these pictures doing the rounds. It was really Minogue mania in the UK at the time, wasn't it? So our Kylie Ann's sister, Danielle Jane, who we are equally huge, huge fans of on this podcast, there was rumours a go-go about Danny and Justin and Kylie's big night out. Danny popped up on CD UK to chat with Kat. I believe it was around the I Begin to Wonder time. Kat's asking her all about it. She's like, it's just was so great to see Kylie. And then me, Kylie and Justin went out after. But she squashed the rumours.
They are not dating.
They are not dating. I don't know, Kylie. Don't, as far as I'm aware, she's not dating him. No, I'm not dating him. But yeah, this was just kind of like headlines everywhere.
What do you do after something like that? You head off for dinner, Kylie, Danny, as you said, with Justin. But also, I read in an old archived Mail story, Janet Jackson.
Wow.
Oh my God. Imagine you're the waiter bringing over like... bringing over a little plate of like steamed tender stem broccolis. And it's like, Janet Jackson, Danielle Jane, Kylie Ann.
And man.
and some random dude.
Sorry, sir, your order's been lost. I mean, I would historically love to swap out JT and I will.
And put in the JB.
What a dinner to be at. What do you think was in conversation that evening?
I like to think that there was a little bit of musical chemistry going on there because there are touches of Janet in the Body yeah. Language album. Maybe this was where Kylie got inspired with the kind of 80s hip-hop, dance, electro vibes, meeting with Janet, having a little brainstorm. She went back to the studio, changed up the mood board.
You never know.
It's interesting that that was reported at the time, but... do you know what? They made all the headlines. It wasn't enough. Kylie and Justin, 3 days later, were presenting an award together at the Grammys. During this little back and forth on stage, Justin was like, by the way, can I grab your ass again?
Ugh. Absolutely not.
Now, all that kind of overshadowed the fact that Kylie herself was up for Best Dance Recording for Love at First Sight at that year's Grammy, but sadly she lost there. But that was actually Kylie's first Grammy nomination, so it's very lovely that she was able to attend the ceremony, present an award, and just have a moment there looking gorgeous. The rest of 2003, after that crazy week, was a little bit calmer for our Kylie, and she was relatively out of the spotlight. I mean, you must bear in mind, since spinning around in June 2000, it has been non-stop for our Kylie Ann. I mean, two huge albums and tours. She has been back-to-back, booked and busy, more popular than ever. So this little short break was kind of what was needed. But, you know, typical Kylie, she's a workaholic. Didn't take long. We get to November 2003. Not only have we got a new single, but she's decided to drop the album in the same month and do a one-off concert that was televised.
Do you think it's odd that we went straight from first single to album all in 1 month?
I wonder what it was at the time, because she was competing a lot with big records that were coming out. You know, that is Q4. Lots of greatest hits were being released at the time. But Kylie seemed very adamant that the album needed to come out that side of Christmas. And I did wonder, looking back in 2003, there were lots of records being leaked. Maybe she was a bit worried that if she hung on to a little bit longer, it would leak. So it's like, okay, let's just get it out quickly and we can work it into 2004.
Fair enough. Maybe. So she was not taking anything slow. So speaking of, let's go to November 2003. Our Kylie Ann is back with, I would say, a lead single like we've never had before. Take it down, dance, down and dance with me.
Different sound. It's a slower tempo, pardon the pun, but also Spinning Around was like joyful disco, Can Get You Out of My Head, again that kind of futuristic Y2K disco, but this one feels dirtier, more electro, more minimalistic. I'm absolutely here for it. You know, that deceptively simple production was what made Can Get You Out of My Head so hypnotic. So she's kind of got a kind of nuance for it as well here with Slow. Now, Joel, before we even get to the track, can we talk about the artwork first? What do you think about this?
David Lim, this artwork for the single and then it's the same shoot for the album is absolutely stunning. Shot by fashion photographers Matt and Marcus, shows Kylie striking in a pose, black and white striped crop top. It is Hat Low, Kylie Bridget Bardot Minogue.
The Brigitte Bardot reference, it's kind of vintage glamour, you know, it's Parisian, it's soft, it's feminine, which is something she really wanted to achieve for body language. She wanted a more feminine touch, you know, it's showing curves and stuff. But yet, you know, the lines and everything is still very modern, isn't it? With the white stripes and everything in the background.
Yeah.
Also, you look at the Kylie logo. It's a twist on the Fever Kylie, except some of the edges have been rounded. So she's giving you that hint of, okay, it's not the same Kylie as the last era. It's not as sharp and jagged. I'm giving you a bit more of a curve, a bit more twist, a bit more feminine.
But yeah, I love that. It's a real perfect mix of like classic and edgy modern.
Modern, yeah.
So you have, yeah, this really strong Brigitte Bardot visual. But then you can tell from even just looking at all the visuals, the electro element of Kylie. So let's jump back to the song, Devo. Kylie has said she heard an unfinished demo of the song and she knew she loved it straight away. She had to have it. I feel like that's happened before in Kylie's journey. I feel like we've touched on that before.
She said that about Can't Get You Out of My Head. It was very instinctual from like the get-go. It was kind of like, let's not waste time.
If she don't snatch
Pop,
it.
Pop, don't wait for no one. Yeah.
Britney's going to have it. S Club's going to have it. Someone's going to have it. And I think it really shows well on her instincts here. You have, as you're saying, you got to strike while the iron's hot, jump on it. And I wonder if she even loves that it's slightly unfinished because it feels like she gets to put her stamp on it.
Yeah, so she does have a writing credit on Slow, and this is done with Dan Carey, who has worked with Fatboy Slim and Sia, and an Icelandic singer called Emiliana Torini. Now, these people have not worked with Kylie since, not worked with Kylie before. They had maybe one or two songs that were released from this whole project. Very interesting, like this combination of people, it's like a once in a lifetime kind of spark, like magic, you know?
Yeah, and also like on paper, Kylie Minogue, this song, these brilliant people all working together. It feels like it was potentially a bit of a risk to release it as a lead single. Like we know it now as the extraordinary success and we all love it and we know it's magnificent. But when you hear these things, you're like, whoa, this is an interesting way to launch a new album.
I remember the first time I heard this song, I was a little bit shocked and I was like, oh, okay, it's definitely different. She's really trying to make a clear line in the sand and go, okay, that Fever album era is done now. I'm going for something darker, more sexy, more sensual and electro. And I was immediately on board, but I remember hearing it on the radio for the first time and I thought, it kind of sounds like nothing that was out at the time.
He was scared for his life, ladies and gents and non-binary friends. You heard it here. So we've got this exquisite song, really entering a new moment for Kylie. We have the exquisite artwork. You know what goes well with that, David?
A stunning classic music video.
I mean, I was going to say an exquisite music video, but you're absolutely correct. Directed by Bailey Walsh and choreographed by Michael Rooney. Yes, he is a relative, I believe, the son of the Mickey Rooney.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes. Video shot in Barcelona. Now, David, this, I mean, you know, as a baby girl, I would have been what? What year are we in? 2003, end of 2003. So literally 12. You're feeling everything. You have no idea what's going on. This
hormones raging.
Diver and then on screen. Kylie around all these pools. Kylie around all these men, I mean. One pull. We only had one pull.
He's all flustered thinking about the men in Speedos.
I'm all flustered thinking about it. I think even then I knew it was a level up, but I think I was kind of a bit more distracted of like just trying to get a peek of
the guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was the same for myself as well. Thank you, Kylie, for being the gateway to gorgeous men.
She literally was like, you know how we've said on a different episode before of like when you're a kid or a teenager and everything, you know, growing up, hormones, all that, and you stare way more than a beat too long at the underwear models on the packets of underwear. Kylie gave you that in a music video. Thank you, Kylie. Thank you, Bailey. Thank you, Michael.
Just also want to shout out that beautiful styling for Kylie here, you know, in the sheer fitted Balenciaga dress with the plunging neckline. It really is showing that I am the star and I'm the focus of this video. You know, it could have been so easy to just put her in a bikini and just make it like she's blending in with this crowd of dancers that are doing the movement.
But absolutely not.
But absolutely not, honey. She is the center. She's the queen bee of this piscine, okay?
I would say this is one of her best music videos. And it is so interesting because it's only one location, but what it does have is these absolutely beautiful, stunning shots and choreography, and it is about actually is keeping you so fixated on what is happening in this one location is what makes it a work of art.
You know, when we say the word choreography in pop, you know, you think of dance routines and stuff, but this is more fluid movements. This is more kind of shapes and stretches. And it's such a contrast to what she was doing in the last few albums, where it was more metronomic dance moves, more sharp, angular movements. So Michael Rooney, who also did the Can't Get You Out of My Head choreography, has really flipped it and was like, okay, let's go for something more sensual. And it's more about giving the essence of that.
Yeah.
We've got 60 very sexy extras here.
They're not extras, David. They're dancers. I'm going to probably say it a lot throughout this episode, but I'm so impressed with Kylie's dancing in this era. And I would say it's arguably the best. We're going to see way more. Arguably the best we've ever seen her as a dancer.
With every video in this album, it kind of builds and builds and it gets to the final single and you're like, oh, okay, come on, Strictly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But she's stretching first. She's stretching now.
Warming up for the rest of the year. I mean, this is like the routine in our contemporary classes. Exercises like this would be in the warm-up and they're fucking hard, David. Before we leave this, when I went to the Kylie pop-up store last year, she did have...
Was selling beach towels?
She had what I believe is one of the most genius bits of pop marketing. She was selling a Kylie Minogue branded slow towel. And I'm kicking myself for not getting one. Someone's flogging one on eBay right now for 500 quid. And I'm saying, what? Do not do it, kids. It is not worth it. David and I will get you a blue towel and stitch Kylie Ann on it. But from Team Kylie, chef's kiss. Absolutely fantastic pop marketing merch there. So, Davo, let's talk about performances. As a keen eye pop fan, especially kind of from here forwards and being so immersed and love to go back, this era is when we see the start of Glenn Ball from the band The Short-Lived Man pop as one of Kylie's dancers. Always lovely to see him there. Extremely talented dancer. But what I loved from seeing this on the TV shows, the set routine, the propography, these four red lights, the, what would you call them? Like stick lights.
Big fluorescent lights.
Yes.
It is so cool. I remember there's one part of the routine where I think it was the breakdown where the dancers come together in front of Kylie and they form a K.
That's my favourite bit. And then they sort of do a little dip down.
Oh, fan, yes.
Fan-bloody-tastic.
Body language.
Absolutely stunning. So she did that on Top of the Pop, CD UK, you know, going all around the towns and everything. But David, She did it on CD UK, the same show that Britney performed Me Against the Music. And this is where we have the legendary meeting of Kylie Ann Minogue and Britney Jean Spears with our television queen, Kat Deely, as host.
Oh, that picture of the three of them.
Yes.
Oh, that is gold. That is beautiful.
That is just like, imagine being one of the kids in the audience for that show.
Oh my God. Yeah. And also, like, there's such crossover between these albums. Like, Kathy Dennis worked with Kylie. You know, Toxic was on this Britney album and Toxic was going to be for Kylie. So it kind of feels like, oh, I wonder what these girls talked about. It's probably like, how long did it take for you to get a table at Nobu?
Listen, don't listen to all that Justin stuff. It's absolute crap.
Exactly. So, JB, I mean, I love that you brought up CD UK for that very sentimental reason of that photo. But for me, the MTV EMA performance of 2003, which I believe might be the world first performance of this song, I could be wrong. That was extravagant. So, you know, our Kylie's not switching up with the outfits and the lights with this era. She's keeping everything very uniform. Mm. You know, she's worked very hard to perfect it and she's giving you that vision. It's being brought out on a big, big stage here at the EMAs and it's just brilliant. You've got, for a performance like this, you really need that top bird's eye view camera so you can see exactly everything that's going on stage from the top. And it's just a dream.
Amazing. Now, before we move on from performances, I want to give a shout out to a 2019 performance, David Lim. Our Kylie Ann performed it on Graham Norton, and it had a mashup of David Bowie's Fashion, which is also the version she was performing on her 2019 summer tour.
Yes.
Yes. But I just loved that mashup of slow live vocals and David Bowie's Fashion.
You can tell Kylie really loves this song. I mean, there was an interview she did for 25 Years of Kylie where she actually ranked this song as her favorite song of hers. So we've had this on every tour since it came out. We've had
apart from the anti tour, obviously.
Obviously, because, you know, read the brief. It's anti tour, not hit singles tour. But we've had a more burlesque version of this song. We've had so many different arrangements, but it's always good when Kylie does slow.
If Kylie's performing it and Steve Anderson is arranging it, it's going to be good.
We're going to get something special.
We're
going to
get something special. So, David, let's touch on B-sides for this. We have one album track, which we'll get to in the album, and then we have a unique to the single B-side, Soul on Fire. Now, this is interesting, David. You've got Slow from Kylie, and then you've got this B-side, which is a very sort of guitar-driven, chill R&B track.
Very different, but also it's done by the same people who did Slow. It's Kylie, Dan, and Emiliana again. I mean, maybe this is more the vibe of what Dan and Emiliana normally do. I don't know what happened the day they opened up Logic and came up with Slow, but that could have been magic and insane and a one-off. But maybe this is kind of the direction that they were kind of having with Kylie in those sessions. I like Soul on Fire, but it's not really something I need to hear over and over again. It's a funky acoustic guitar-led track. It's Kylie actually changing her mind after breaking up with her guy. So I thought it was interesting because 2003, there was a lot of relationship dramas for our Kylie, unfortunately. You have to look at these lyrics, JB. hitting up at the party scene, acting as if you were entirely over me, dancing with all these ladies just so the news would make it directly to the hot, hot line. Now I only want you back, so come on home. Didn't know how much I'd miss you on my own. So find it in your heart. Hear my apology. We've taken it this far. Don't you want the best of me? Kylie, don't take him back.
Kylie Ann, do not go there, Kylie.
Delete his number, girlie.
Do not go there. Do not go there, Kylie.
You're so much better than this, girlie.
So, Slow Devo was nominated for a Grammy at the 47th Grammy Awards ceremony. This was nominated for Best Dance Recording. She did lose to Britney's Toxic, unfortunately, but what a song to lose to. It was also nominated at the Ivor Novello Awards for Best Contemporary Song and International Hit of the Year, but lost to Amy Winehouse's Stronger Than Me. Of course, you know, Amy is Amy, and Dido's White Flag.
Mm. Oh, is this the year where we have the Dido Amy Winehouse beef?
So. We are an Amy Winehouse backing podcast here.
Yeah, Dido's not in the spreadsheet, guys.
Sorry. And sorry, trying to win tour. It was messaged us saying to do Dido. It is really, yeah.
Really? We got a life for rent stan. Okay.
Well, no, Trana was like, you know, I agree with you guys, but rightly so. She's like, it's so pivotal to the 2000s. I'm like, listen, Trana, love you, but I just do not think that's happening.
Wow.
But Dido, if you want to come on, we'll definitely...
She's not going to fucking come on after we've said all this.
We will go down with this ship, as always. Now, Devo, Al Kylie was hugely back with a bang. In the UK, it was a number one smash hit. Also number one on the UK dance and Down Under. Also number one on the Australia ARIA charts and the Australia Dance ARIA charts. Fan-bloody-tastic.
This was a platinum certified hit in Australia. Like, what a way to come back. And for us to kind of feel a little pang of reluctance when we first heard it on radio, didn't matter. People went out and bought it. Yeah.
Well, that was, you know, the time of lead-in times worked well there, I guess. So it was also number 91 on the Billboard Hot 100, but number one on the US Dance Club Songs. And it was number one in Romania.
Thank you, Seb.
And thank you, Seb, number one in Denmark. Do we have a Scottish chart? I don't think so. Number one in Scotland, of course you were. And number one in Spain. Fan-bloody-tastic. Number nine in New Zealand. Very interesting. And eight in Germany. Devo, let's stay in the same calendar month. Body Language, the album.
JB, again, let's start with the cover art here. We've already talked about the outfit because that's the one she's wearing for Slow. I mean, here, very interestingly, I just want to quickly point out, this is the first Kylie album cover that we don't have her name emblazoned on it.
Wow.
This is how famous she is. You know, she went from Kylie Minogue for two decades. In the 2000s, it's just Kylie. And now, third album of the 2000s, she's like, nah, sod it. You know who I am.
Yeah, but...
Why are you acting like you don't know this song?
You know... It's interesting because it's such a striking look, though. You could say, oh, maybe it doesn't look like Kylie, but it still looks like Kylie. You still know it's Kylie from looking at it.
Okay, so JB, if you were to take yourself back 20 years and you're that kid at Woolies having a browse, looking at S Club 8 CDs, would you come across that and be like, oh, that's Kylie Ann Minogue?
Yeah. Even if I wasn't in a monogamous relationship, I still knew it was Kylie Ann. This is the boy.
Good boy.
This is the boy, though. You remember, this is the boy that would have the Kylie Hits Plus orange blunt fringe bob staring at him in the library, and he knew it was Kylie, and he was confused.
Oh, yes.
So I think if you know Kylie from that, you'll know Kylie from anything.
Oh, yeah. The wigs don't fool you.
No, absolutely not.
Again, we've got that really soft, feminine pose from our Kylie's, giving that coquettish Brigitte Bardot vintage pose. She's sitting on top of a big black beam, so very industrial, very geometrical shapes happening here. And you've got Body Language, the font, coming from the back off the back corner to the front. Very interesting, isn't it? It's almost very like modern, minimalistic design, contrasted against something so vintage.
Yeah, I think the thing is, because Kylie is so striking in it and the black and whites, I've never like taken the time to look. I've never realized her name's not on it, for instance, or anything like that.
Of course, when you pick up the CD, there is a sticker on the front of the jewel case to remind you in case you locals don't know who that is.
Yeah, and when the mums and dads have gone out to buy it, they can see Kylie.
Listen, I got this CD for Christmas. I begged my dad, and he would have needed the sticker on the front to guide him.
You would have ended up with a copy of Hits Plus otherwise.
Exactly. On behalf of Papa Lim, we just want to say thank you to Kylie's sticker team.
Yeah.
That CD never got wrapped and put under the tree, Joel. Like, I was playing it from the minute I got in the car.
Wait, so your dad came back from the store with it and you just took it out of his hands?
Yeah. There's no surprises. We don't do surprises for Christmas in our family.
You were just like, I need that too. Sweet, thanks.
You look so appalled. You're like, right, well, no, what about Father Christmas?
No, David, you've got to do what I did at Christmas was I would expertly unwrap the gifts.
Oh, no.
Get them out. Have a good old look. Pop them back in. Put it under Christmas Day. Oh, wow. Thank you so much.
This is someone who clearly never saw that episode of That's So Raven where she did that with a necklace and took it to school and got it lost.
Look, no, I was never going to lose my Mary-Kate and Ashley DVDs. They are prime essential purchases. Thank you very much.
Before we move on into the album, let's look at the other photography that we had. Mm. As you said, they were done by Mert and Marcus, who have shot for Vogue. I mean, they will not be cheap. Let me tell you, Parlophone pumped in a lot of money into this album shoot. And I would say, JB, feel free to disagree, but I think this is one of the best, most beautiful album campaigns of her career so far.
I would say of all album campaigns, it's up there. One of the best.
It is so up there. So we've got Kylie on the beach, on a boat, with a motorcycle, in a park. This was shot in south of France. You know, it's giving sun-soaked holiday.
Also, I believe the motorcycle shot is the image that's up on GAY Bar, the big old Kylie poster.
Yes, it is. Was that a gift? Or they just...
had to have it.
Yeah, managed to get the high-res TIFF file from her graphic designer. Went down to Snappy Snaps and got something printed.
Went down Snappy Snaps and said, hey, can you printy print Biggie Big? That was not £1 at the Down Under, $1 at the Down Under High printer, let me tell you.
Absolutely not.
But also, I love that at GAY Bar, there is only one pop star poster and it's a huge poster of Kylie.
Yeah, and it's from the Body Language album. That's how iconic it is.
Literally, not everybody has that. But yeah, you're absolutely right. The photography of this album and singles and era is so, so strong.
Do you have a favourite look?
I do, David, and it is the cover of the next single.
I knew you were going to say that because that is stunning.
Like, that is just
Beach
it.
Kylie.
That is just it. If there aren't prints of this album campaign already available to buy, there should be.
Yeah, get down to Snappy Snaps. Yeah. this episode's not sponsored.
Like, Kylie Minogue's own Snappy Snaps, you know. And also the Body Language coffee table book should be a thing.
Yes, please. Yeah, come on, Mert and Marcus, we know you've got more in there. Joel, let's get into this album. Sonically, as we said before, maybe that little chat over dinner and tender stem broccolis with Janet Jackson has inspired something, because 80s are a very distinct reference point here, but Kylie herself is an artiste of the 80s. This was not what she was doing then with Stock Aitken and Waterman.
Absolutely,
so it's really
not
interesting to see her dabbling into the other sounds and influences that were coming out of that decade, you know. Body Language was drawing from electro clash, R&B, hip-hop, 80s disco funk, synth-pop, you know, references like Prince, and also what was coming out of New York at that time in the kind of early to mid-80s, like Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam. So interesting, isn't it?
For this episode is me really well and truly taking it in for the first time. You have the electro side ties it in with Kylie, as you know, but she adapts to R&B and hip hop so well. It doesn't feel out of place at all. I think the electro is what helps, you know, tie it all together. So you don't go in the way with Victoria, say, people were going, she's doing hip hop, she's doing R&B, whatever. No one, or it doesn't feel like people had as much of a shock like that.
Yeah, but even though those were the headlines, because people love a bit of a shock. Oh, Kylie's rapping, she's going R&B with this album. You know, got a little fan like me worried in high school. I was like, oh no, I mean, I love Destiny's Child, but can I hear Al Kylie doing Destiny's Child? Like, what's going on? So
Davo, I think we need to talk about standouts and faves, but we have to start off with Still Standing. Written by our recent guest, the lovely, brilliant, talented Alexis Strum. Alexis told us on our recent interview with her that, yes, this was from her unreleased album, Addicted, unreleased until last year, thank God. But she did write it with Kylie in mind, and she wrote it wanting it to be for Kylie. She had the very clever move of, when it looked like it wasn't happening for her, getting it to Kylie's A&R and saying, Kylie must have this. It's really sort of kismet in a way of the sound of this that Alexis had come up with for the song was really fitting in the world that Kylie was creating for this album. It's very Prince, it's very Bowie, and it's perfect for Kylie.
It is so good. And also, I think coming off slow, you've got this in track two, that's something more bubblegum in the chorus. You're like, oh, we're getting Kylie playing a more pop character, you know? It's more playful again. And again, like Alexis said in our interview, the lyrics really resonate with Kylie's own narrative. You know, I'm still standing, keeping you dancing. It's like, yes, I am that comeback queen. I'm still here, you know?
Yeah, still standing since the 80s and not going anywhere. But yeah, absolutely. So, Davo, what is a standout for you on the album?
Jolie B, I'm going to go for something with a bit of an edge. Promises.
Okay. I would say, you know, this is a very, like, David Lim friendly album, you know, and especially if you've got those Promises is a little bit more very into that sort of like mid-tempo R&B world, isn't it?
It is. You know, Al Kylie have had some really great euphoric breakup anthems. So Now Goodbye from the Light Years album, Dance Floor from the Fever album. I mean, even that one has a little bit of a bite to the lyrics, sort of her giving an ultimatum. But this album is probably the first one in a while where we've had a love-scorned Kylie. She was mad. She went in the studio furious in this era. And I love it because we're getting lyrics with more bite. It's more pointed. It's more specific. You know, Promises, Obsession, Someday, these three songs were definitely the tracks that were quite referenced in the tabloids or in reviews in reference to her at the time on and off boyfriend James Gooding. So that kind of paints a different picture, but I love the vibe of this song.
I mean, you just referenced it there, but Someday, I think, sounds a bit like Kylie meets All Saints.
I can hear it, yeah. You know, the Minogues are never one to kiss and tell. They were raised well. But if you look at the lyrics there again, Joel, precious stone, life goes on. You have used and abused me. Now I'm going home. I want my records back to get my heart on track. You think I can't be alone? Well, this woman's here to show you.
Wow.
Mic drop.
Yeah. So, David, I want to take us back to the dance floor. I want to take us to what I want to ask. Is this the most Danny song in Kylie's discography? It's the fabulous, edgy club track. It features a rap from Al Kylie. It is Secret, Take You Home. You can kiss and tell,
that you've said it, I really cannot unhear it.
You get it,
it
right?
It is Danny-esque.
All right, brilliant. I don't want everyone to listen and go, what the fuck is he talking about?
No, no, no. Don't be insecure in your judgments. You are at level 6.5 now in the final few pages of your induction of the monogamous course. So you've earned your divaship, Jolie B.
Don't doubt yourself now. You've come so far.
Say it with your chest. Funny, looking back, Neon Knights came out the same year. It was earlier in a year. So, of course, I was ready for Kylie to do this because I've been prepped. You know, I was ready.
Yeah, the foundations had been laid.
Was it shocking to you, Joel, to hear Al Kylie rapping?
No, not at all. Like, I think...
So, sorry, can I ask, you heard this for the first time...
For this episode.
...doing this...
I didn't even clock that it was a rap until I read, like, people were discarding it as a rap. It's pop music, hun. Our pop stars rap when needed. They're multi-talented people. That isn't shocking.
This track was co-produced by Johnny Douglas and co-written by Reza Safina, who has worked with Miss Dynamite and Akala.
Wow.
And actual Miss Dynamite herself, who was going with her government name for this. I don't know what it was. Maybe she didn't want the pop press. She didn't want to be outed as writing on a Kylie song. Maybe it wasn't seen as cool, but get that check, Miss Dynamite. And also an American songwriter called Lisa Green is also involved. And fun fact, Joel, she co-wrote Breathe On Me on Britney's album that came out that year.
Wow.
And also our fave, S Club 8's Don't Tell Me You're Sorry.
Oh, fantastic.
Sexy pop R&B.
Wow. Imagine that in your songwriting credits, having Kylie Ann, S Club Juniors / 8, Britney Jean Spears.
Top caliber people are working on this. This truly is a sexy electro bitch banger. Like,
yeah.
I'm so obsessed with this. The first time I heard this, I was like, oh, this needs to be a single.
Yeah. I think, do you think Kylie was like, it's too Minogue? Like, I'm doing different stuff. I don't want anything to overshadow. Every single is its own piece of art in this album. And I feel like this could be, yes, obviously still Kylie doing it will still be a piece of art, but this is a Kylie or a Danny song in a great way.
Yes, interesting. I feel like it came down to the wire at Parlophone boardrooms between this one and Red Blooded Woman.
Wow.
I feel like that would have been the choices as the obvious second singles. So which one do you go with that is more radio friendly, that wouldn't scare the locals? And what would you say, Joel?
I think that what they went with wasn't the safer choice, but I think it was best for the campaign. Yeah.
It was. Oh, okay. Interesting. So
I think they went with the right choice, but I don't think it was the safer choice.
Interesting.
Look at us dissecting history with no facts. What do you think, Davo?
I think people were scared about Kylie rapping in this. Like, I think the label execs, this is my speculation. Like, please, Kylie's A&R, do not hit me up in a DM.
No,
dude,
come on. Come on the pod.
Oh, yeah, please come on a podcast and set the record straight. I feel like they think Kylie rapping in Secret Take You Home would be too much for radio listeners. That's why they went with Red Blooded Woman. In an alternate universe, if we had more time and budget, sure, let's have this as a fourth single.
Yeah, brilliant.
Funnily enough, there was a limited promo release in Taiwan only of Secret Take You Home. It was a promo single with remixes. Wow. There's pictures of it on Discogs. Don't know if it's real. Don't know if it's just...
It's real. I've seen pictures of it and everything.
It's got its own Discogs page, so it must be real. It's not at all some bloke that burned a CD and, you know, paid a dollar in Down Under High to print out pictures of Kylie with clip art.
Honestly, though, that is fascinating, first and foremost. And
we need the truth on that.
We need the truth on it.
Someone from Universal in Taiwan, please hit us up.
But also, that screams record store day release. Picture disc vinyl.
Buckle up, baby, feel my speed to Rough Trade Records. Yes.
So, Davo, what's another standout for you on body language?
I'm going to get a bit soppy.
All right, darling.
In the words of Mel B, I'm going to get a little bit soft and smoochy. I want to give a shout out to Loving Days. I have deep, I have
Tell me about this song for you.
It feels like it's a vibe. It's got this gorgeous sweeping orchestral strings. It feels like you're on a holiday, you're on a yacht. It's just perfect for just lounging by the sea. Every time I go away somewhere with a nice beach or scenery, I love to put this song on my Insta story to soundtrack it.
It's a bit dramatic, isn't it?
Oh, I love it. You can tell the money was spent on this. You know, this was recorded with the London Philharmonic Orchestra, okay?
Was it actually?
It really was. Yeah, I'm not just saying shit, Joel. We are a serious fact-finding podcast.
We are. Now, David, you were on board with me for the... Is this the most Danny sounding Kylie song? It feels like this song, and maybe like a slightly different version of it, but it feels like it could have been part of the Kylie Minogue 94 album or even the Impossible Princess album.
Look at you. I mean, let's get that graduation ceremony sorted now. He's earned his Minogue divaship.
Do you hear that?
Yeah. I mean, it's good orchestral, good instrumentation. So yeah, it would fit in that universe. So yeah, this was written by Al Kylie with Richard Biff Stannett and Julian Gallagher, who also produced it. So these are her pals and collaborators from the Fever album. It's very interesting to see, you know, even Kathy Dennis has a track on this album, but Kathy, Biff, Julian Gallagher, not as many tracks on this album. You know, it's a very distinct kind of, okay, I want to start a different chapter with Body Language.
So David, I want to stick up tempo. It's disco, it's fun, it's one of us. I feel like a version of it could fit within disco or tension, and that's sweet music.
Now this one is written by Karen Paul.
Oh, Kazaraz has entered the chat.
She has. She's had a tremendous year having done Danny's Put the Needle on It. So now she's gone from one Minogue and now she's completed her Minogue collection. She's worked with Kylie as well. So we've got Karen Paul, Ash Thomas, Kylie Ann Minogue on this track. And I feel like that must have been such a fun day in the studio. You can just see in the lyrics, like they were just being playful, whimsical. I think we're onto something. Your taste, it mirrors mine. So hot and in the moment. Let's make this demo right. I'm looking for that new sensation.
What else for you, Davo?
Jolie B, the final track I want to give a shout out to is Slow Motion, which is an Australian edition bonus track. To me, it still feels very funny when I'm on Spotify here in this country and gets to the end of the album and I don't hear Slow Motion because I'm so used to hearing it on the CD version. This is written by Al Kylie Ann with Andrew Frampton, who's worked on the Victoria Beckham album.
Legend.
Mark Spike Stent, who's worked with the Spice Girls, Wayne Wilkins, who would go on to do Beyoncé's Sweet Dreams and Cheryl's Fight for This Love. So
wow.
Gorgeous R&B moment. This is another delicious R&B pop mid-tempo. I love that it's really sparse in the production. It's really there to highlight Kylie's beautiful whispery vocals. You know, we got that really minimal beatboxing beat, nice harmonies on top, strings. I think if you like chocolate, then you're going to want to dip into this one as well.
Oh, that is from the Down Under High Journal and Review. 'Cause we're living in slow motion. I wish I could freeze the space and time. Yeah, that was a lovely discovery. And like, let's just get it on streaming. Like, it's now a shame that we're not getting a deluxe vinyl with like all these, because you know there are some other bonus tracks, some great B-sides. Like, there's enough for Kylie, there's always enough for more, or more, as you said in a previous album. But yeah, we're lucky to have what we have. So this album, Davo, was a number 6 hit album here in the UK. In Australia, number two, number one on the Australian dance albums, number 42 on the US Billboard 200. In New Zealand, it was at 23.
Friendship's over.
You can take True Bliss and shove it up your ass. Number 43 in Japan, 47 in Italy, number 11 in Germany, 31 in France, number 9 on the European Albums Chart.
So Jolie B, the week this debuted in the UK, I mean, Kylie was up against two very huge greatest hits album coming out the same day. We have Michael Jackson's Number One's compilation debuting at number one. I mean, fuck, every household had that one. My dad went and bought a copy, so I feel like he was working against me there.
For God's sake.
One hand he buys Kylie for me, on the other hand he goes to Kmart, buys a bit of Michael Jackson. So
they giveth and they take us, you know.
Yeah, we just, the Lim household was divided that week. We had Busted, A Present for Everyone, debuting at number two. Dido's Life for Rent, number three. Future Right Back at Your Podcast episode. The other big greatest hits that came out that week was Red Hot Chili Peppers. Number five was REM's Greatest Hits, which had been top two for at least the last 3 weeks. Also, our friend Britney Jean, her In The Zone album debuted at number 14 and was outsold by Atomic Kitten's Ladies Night.
And I'm kind of here for the greatest hits of REM, you know. In shock of the podcast.
Who are you? Sorry.
Kylie is not stopping anytime soon. In 1 month, we have the single, the first single of the album. We have the album, and now we have a one-off Money Can't Buy concert, literally called Money Can't Buy.
Joel, this concert was 5 days after the album release. Kylie hasn't got time to pop into HMV and do signings, I assume. I mean, I haven't looked at pictures. Maybe she did do signings as well, but my thinking is she didn't because she was busy getting ready for this show. It's a one-off show in London at Hammersmith Apollo. You can't buy tickets, as you said. It's invite-only and competition winners. According to our Kylie Ann, people from over 40 countries were in the audience. I mean, to me, looking back, I was like, okay, interesting move, quite similar to Madonna's one-off Brixton Academy gig around the music album release that we talked about.
Yeah.
But this was also like the Madonna show. It was live streamed on AOL.com, but ITV1 bought the rights to broadcast it here in the UK, and we had it on Channel 10 in Australia. It went to air a few days after the concert, so they weren't waiting around. They were using this as the big TV moment to promote the album.
Which is genius.
It really is. And I had my VCR set to record. So, sorry, Kylie, I never bought the DVD because I was already watching it.
So, yeah, it was officially released on DVD entitled Body Language Live. But not only, David, were you there with the DVD recorder ready to hit record. I remember watching this on TV too, David.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And I wasn't even a locked and loaded monogamous young baby gay then either.
So what do you remember of this? Were you watching it with a family? Like, was it a family television event?
Well, see, in my memory, I thought it was on T4, but I've gone back, looked at the receipts. It was an ITV1 priority show hosted by Queen Dame Kat Deely. And was Kat in your version in Australia as well?
No.
Oh, I just remember thinking, oh, that's so interesting. She has a catwalk. A mini catwalk, because that isn't part of the Hammersmith Apollo setup. And Kylie needs that. She needs a little touch of that.
She needs a little something like that. You know, this was a very decent 13-song concert divided into 4 parts. So it's more than just a couple of songs. It's more than just a quick PA, you know. It's more songs than Madonna did for the music one-off show.
David Lim, this is not a intimate album launch show. This was allegedly a £1 million staged concert. I have never seen, on either video form or being there in person, I've never seen such an expensive looking concert at the Hammersmith Apollo.
I mean, I love that Kylie joked, oh, it's called Money Can't Buy, but it costs a fortune to put on. But also, like, imagine the stress of putting together this show, because you have all this expense going into it, all these rehearsals, and it's done after like an hour.
Wild.
It's wild, isn't it? You spend so much of money on rehearsals, props, costumes and everything, the band. Like, this was truly an extravagance, and I don't think people appreciate it enough to see how special it is. So by all means, go get that DVD. Shout out to William Baker and Steve Anderson, who worked on it with, again, Michael Rooney, the choreographer. Now, Jolie B, speaking of this venue, you and I saw Steve Anderson and William Baker at the Hammersmith Apollo earlier this week.
We did!
Isn't that a funny case of, what, 20 years on, same place, same faces, different show?
I mean, if we had walked up and gone, same face, different places or whatever, I think they would have said, security. But David, this really was an incredible show. Watching it back, not only was one of our fave girlies hosting it, Kat Deely, one of our fave girlies was in the audience. I spotted Alicia Dixon in there having a fantastic time.
Did you? Yes. Did Kylie give her a shout out?
No, the camera just panned to her in the audience.
Okay, Kylie mentioned that Danny was in the audience. She was like straining to find Danny, but I don't know if the camera ever got Danny.
No, I didn't see Danny, no.
I didn't see that, but Kylie saw her. That was the most important thing. Yeah, they got Alicia and Kylie saw Danny, so that's the most important thing. She knew her sister was in the audience supporting.
Couldn't have had a little Neon Knights medley in there in the middle.
Hello, Kat Deely should have had Danny on for the pre-show.
Or it's a shame for the Australian release, if Danny had hosted it, that would have been loads of fun.
That would have been wonderful. Danny could have gone backstage, given us a little,
how's it going? It's split into four segments, the show, David. Paris by Night, Bardello, Electro, and On Your Bike. The show opened with Still Standing, the Alexis Strum penned track. And Kylie is on that big pillar, high up in the venue, recreating the body language front cover, which I just think is a genius move. Do you want to hear me sing? Because I don't think I want to
stop. And I never want my feet drop. I mean, you can imagine, I would be scared just sort of balancing on top of that beam.
Absolutely.
Trying to look sexy, trying to sing while it's, the beam is moving, by the way. So it's kind of, it's not like it's just there. It is moving. So I would have been scared shitless for that. But what a way to enter the stage and have that moment. Joel, to be honest, that first set, the three songs in there, Still Standing, and then she goes into Red Blooded Woman with the sexy bondage mime dancers on stage.
Brilliant.
And then it goes into On a Night Like This because, you know, got to give the locals something they know.
That was one of my favourite moments in the show, though, with the umbrellas.
We love a hypnotic umbrella. And then the next part, the Bardello, you know, we've got a silk kimono corset dress on our Kylie. She does Breathe, which is a deep cut fan favourite single.
She did mix in Chatem with Breathe, which was one of my favourite moments.
And then we get to the electro set. Now here Kylie is in a red figure hugging mini dress with a cut up fringe, a gold skirt underneath. I think this was the same outfit or similar version of an outfit that we see in the Red Blooded Woman music video. So there are lots of nods to looks that she's worn for album photo shoots and things like that throughout this performance. What's really lovely and a highlight for me in this section is Obsession. Hearing that for the first time. So,
oh, lovely.
We're getting these songs, but also she does Can't Get You Out of My Head and Slow and In Your Eyes here.
Slow, I feel like she really elevated the choreo here because the partner work was male and male, I believe, instead of the male female. And there's a bit where they like get on each other's backs and stuff. And I thought for the show, and especially she's knowing her audience, and in 2004, it just felt like, yeah, really strong visual moment.
Exactly. It is really good. And also to do Slow about halfway into the show is kind of like, yeah, I know I've got a number one single on this album. I don't need to give it to you up front. You'll be looking forward to that.
And she tells you this is the number one song in the country right now.
And then the final set, On Your Bike, is Kylie on an actual motorcycle on stage, recreating that gorgeous imagery that we talked about at GAY Bar.
Had to.
So she does that, spinning around, and the encore was Love at First Sight. And Kylie comes out in one of my favourite accessories ever, a black beret.
Well, and it's like a black and white beret, isn't it? It's like black, but like white pattern on there.
Yeah, it's got white buttons sewn on it. That's what it is.
Stunning. Keeping with the visual of body language.
So well done to the styling team. Well done, William Baker, because every look was incredible. You know, she's wearing Chanel, Helmut Lang, Balenciaga, Jean-Paul Gaultier. Like, this is designers only, you know?
Looking back, you're like, this is a fun, hun, glowing era for Kylie, you know? I can only hope that she had a little Christmas break. And then in February 2004, David, our Kylie wins her first Grammy Award. Absolutely huge. Best dance recording for Come Into My World. And then isn't it incredible, David, that 20 years on, Kylie's just won her second Grammy.
Incredible. So yeah, the global pandemic is real all the way to the Grammys. And it's always really sweet when we do this show and we get to show. Did I say show? Like, like we're on stage, Hammersmith Apollo.
Da da da.
I'm still standing, keeping you dancing. Yeah. It's always really great when we do this podcast and we get to have a full circle moment in real time in 2024 or whatever year it is that we're recording with the artists that we're talking about. So very happy for our Kylie. And I think when this episode drops, we'll be gearing up towards the Brits and she's getting the Global Icon Award and she's performing.
Yes. Incredible.
Oh, great time to have your full-fledged monogamous card there, Jolie B.
All right, David. We are in March 2004 and Kylie is here with, which I've already mentioned, my favourite artwork of the album campaign and a banging new single, Red Blooded Woman.
I feel so lucky that day I got on eBay and someone was selling the picture disc of all the singles of Body Language.
Wow.
So I got Slow, Red Blooded Woman and Chocolate all in one bundle.
You've got to put them on display when this episode comes out.
It has to be. It has to be a takeover for Kylie.
Yeah, I want them all in prime position. Not like, oh, well, we can't overdo it. I want you to overdo it.
That's me told, yeah, by the museum co-curator over there, yeah.
Silent partner. Not so silent partner.
Yeah, not so silent. But it is a beautiful close-up of our Kylie on the beach, giving you that lovely cheekbone and smoky eye and just beautiful blue eyes. There is a full shot of this, and I do believe it's the same Balenciaga dress that she wore in the Slow video. So she's gone from lounging by the pool to having a dip in the ocean with it.
Incredible. It actually reminds me, like the tight close-up on her face. You remember years ago now when we had the legend Maya on our podcast and we were talking about her album cover and you were talking to her about it was apparently a wider shot originally and we were like, we'd love the wider shot. And she's like, yeah, love that. But also, the close-up works too. Here, you're like, yes, the wider shot is going to be bloody phenomenal, but that close-up is so powerful.
Just the close-up, it's classic, isn't it?
Shall we talk about the song, David? Again, legend Karen Paul is here and Johnny Douglas, and Johnny also produced the song. They have given us this amazing Kylie track. I would say if you're in the Body Language era, I'm sure you've been swept up by Slow because it was such a huge hit. But if you need like a new, fresh Kylie, but it's still in the world of Kylie, this is here for you.
It is interesting because the very first time I heard this, Joel, I wasn't thinking it sounded like a Kylie song. I thought the melody in the beginning, that riff, sounded like Destiny's Child's Survivor. I mean, I've looked at the credits, nobody's sued, so it's kind of different enough, but it was giving an R&B record. So I was like, oh, comparisons to Destiny's Child, here we go. I was a little bit worried.
And it was just you.
It was, well, there was more than just a few of us worried, Joel. At the time, I remember reading stuff in the press and it was like, oh, has she ripped off Destiny's Child? What are you doing, Kylie girl?
Well, it is interesting because listening to it now and knowing in the time that we've just had, to me, it does feel like they either Kylie or the label, or I'm sure organically, but they've gone, okay, well, what's the big moment for this star that's just had American success here? Because this feels like your American girly, pop girly Kylie moment of the album, which I've never thought before. And I've never realized just sort of like what a great pop track this is. I think because we have Slow and we have Chocolate, in my mind, I kind of thought all the singles were like that. But then I listened to this and I'm like, oh, she's coming for main pop girl America and globally with this track.
And I think you can do really interesting and fun stuff with the choreography, which we see in the performances and the music video. So it is the best candidate for a single, I feel. And as you said before, it was the right choice as a second single because it is catchy. It is radio ready and it's just fun to play with, isn't it? Now, JB, let's talk about the music video directed by Jake Narvo, who has worked with...
Hello, Jake.
Who has worked with Beyonce and Britney. This was shot in LA. I mean, talk about what you're saying, you know, coming for the American audience, the mainstream market. Let's do it proper with a great music video shot in Hollywood Freeway. Like, let's give you traffic stopping Kylie, literally.
Also, she's nicked Cujo.
Kath and Kim fans, we got a little cameo from Cujo here.
And a couple of Cujo's friends.
The Cujo gang. There you go. Down, Cujo. Do you remember seeing this video?
No.
Oh, my God. You missed it. For all this big production, it wasn't played on T4.
Missed CD UK that day. I found it now. Look, I can't change the past. I can only live in the present, which is rich coming from a 2000s pop music podcast co-host. Do you remember seeing it for the first time, Devo?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I was very much ready for this. And it was, and I still believe... to this day, one of Kylie's most beautiful music videos. You know, I love this concept of her being stuck in traffic in LA. She decides to get out and walk, and she's decided to change her outfits. One of my favorite looks is the first look of her in the Lamborghini getting out. That first stall with the metal chain and the low-rise jeans and a tank top. It is such a 2000s girly look. But it's made even better by the dangly bits hanging off the hips. Oh, God. The girls in the 2000s love like a metal chain or like a belt or a little something to swish when you're strutting. You know, I'm seeing that come back in fashion now. I see Tyler doing that. And I'm just like, I'm so nostalgic whenever I see like looks like that because it's just, it takes me back to visuals like this from Kylie. I also love that bit in the video where Kylie gets into this woman's car, takes her clothes off the rack or hanging in the back of the car, takes it off and decides to get changed in the back.
You got to do what you got to do when you need to do it, you know?
She was giving her sexy little glance in the mirror and then gets out with her dress and struts off. Gorgeous new red dress. She's ready to make a killing.
Hats off to Kylie, Jake, Parlophone, Mushroom. There's just pure confidence here. If I was the director... and I had in mind, all right, we're chasing America, I would be so tempted, and it's not the right choice at all, I would be so tempted to start the video with Kylie or someone bored in the car and you hear a bit of Can't Get You Out of My Head playing on the radio.
You know, they could have done it with her, like, turning the dials on the radio. A bit of Can Get You Out of My Head comes on, maybe a bit of Slow Locomotion, maybe, for the locals. But they didn't have time for all that. They're getting into Red Blooded Woman.
So, David, we had some amazing performances from Kylie on this. We had Top of the Pops Saturday, actual Top of the Pops with fabulous live vocals. But Hello America, David Letterman. Live vocals, fantastic dancing. Again, here, I haven't seen Kylie dance in this straight up pop girl way, closer to sort of commercial hip hop dancing, and Kylie doing it so well. Her body, the fluidity, we've seen angular and positions, and we've already seen technical dancing from Slow, elevated higher than we've ever seen before. But I have not seen Kylie move in this hip hop pop girl light way before.
She really is a chameleon, and she's such a great pop performer in that sense that when she gets into a studio behind the mic, she's able to pull off different sounds and use her voice in a different way and play with different phrasing. And it's exactly the same in front of the camera as well. She can deliver that kind of choreography without it looking cheesy or forced.
This is the only one I sort of really found of this album. Like, was there no big performances of Slow? Because the album didn't come out in America until February either.
Oh, right.
So they're doing, like, Grammy.
It does make sense, though. They delay the album release to 2004 in America so she can actually promote it there. As she said, off the back of the Grammys, do this Letterman performance, give it that moment. And it's almost like America's getting Red Blooded Woman as the lead single. Even though it's already Slow was already number one on the club charts there, it's like this one gets the promo.
So, Davo, we got some B-sides. We have Almost a Lover. To me, this is sounding like a almost experimental version of Slow and kind of within the world of the rest of Body Language. And it feels like there's some hints of disco in there as well.
Yeah, it almost is that bridge between Fever and Body Language. You can tell that it was more of a transitional track, perhaps. Mm. But my favorite B-side on this, and I was obsessed, I got this on CD single, so it wasn't enough that I pestered my dad to get the album for me. This Australian version had Red Blooded Woman, the music video, included. So I needed to have that because it's, again, guys, pre-YouTube. But also had two B-sides and remixes. So I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? It's got the Slow Chemical Brothers remix on this. That alone was enough for me to spend $5.
And you were into that?
I love the Chemical Brothers remix of Slow. I think it's incredible. And she's performed that over the years before as part of her tours. But for me, Joel, as an R&B boy...
And a cruiser.
I beg your pardon. I loved a bit of cruise control.
David, this really...
Was this a shock to you when you heard it?
No, not at all. Nothing shocks me. I just think it is fabulous, but it's a perfect B-side because it sounds like it's within the same world of Red Blooded Woman.
It is. It's so much fun. It's that playful, slinky R&B. Now, the version that I have on CD, which I always thought was the version everyone had and is everywhere, has Sean Paul on it. Now, he's not credited anywhere, but Sean Paul, you know, he's an international star. And it's 2003. Of course we know what Sean Paul sounds like. We hear him on the radio all the time. So I did find it strange, and I was questioning myself a lot when I was listening to this the first time. I was like, why is Sean Paul not credited? And it turns out, and really this is something I discovered yesterday, the producer, Johnny Douglas, was messing about in the studio. He, you know, just wanted to see what it sounds like if you loop a bit of a rap verse in there, just to kind of test it out. Did it work with the track? And he got accidentally left on, and it was sent to Parlophone. And whoever it was at Parlophone sent it off to the printers. That's not how you print CDs, but hit upload, and the wrong version went out. So that was not cleared. It's not cleared by Sean Paul.
Oh my God. So you got illegal merchandise.
Yeah, that is a loop of his rap from another song. So they had to, I don't know what they did. Did they pull all the CDs? Did they, in future pressings, they changed it?
So there is a Sean Paul-less version.
There is, yeah. And you can hear it online. The fans have uploaded that version. But they're calling this Sean Paul version the demo, which I'm like, sorry, it's not. It was on my CD. Situation getting really live again. Tell them off in young house with the players and the riders and beside of them. And them said them tired of the liars them. Fires and connivers them. We never get inside of them. They glide at them. Especially the money hide of them. Watch it, watch it, girl, but them watch if you make a ride of them. Sean Paul's lawyers were on the phone.
So, David, I've missed the most notable performance of this song completely. Performed by Kath. No, performed by Kim in Kath and Kim on karaoke.
This was so much fun, wasn't it? So in November 2004, the Kath and Kim episode with Kylie and Minogue, which was the season finale of season 3, goes to air. Joel, were you tapped into Kath and Kim in real time?
I actually hadn't even got into Kath and Kim when we lived together because you were watching Kath and Kim Dorella and you were like, oh, I love this. It reminds me of home. Da, da, da. And even then I wasn't tapped into. I then watched it on Netflix maybe within the last few years after. And yeah, I just became obsessed.
What do you think of this episode?
Yeah, I mean, I loved this. I mean, only one girl can play Eponine Ray, and it's Kylie Anne.
But I did think it was so funny because it was set in the future. So Kylie was playing Kim's daughter getting married. And at the wedding or whatever, the karaoke bit, Kim was singing Red Blooded Woman is like, but I find it funny because that was meant to be 20 years into the future, which would be now.
I'm going to do it on karaoke after this. Let's talk about charts for this stunning single. So here in the UK, number 5 on the UK singles charts, number 4 in Scotland. Thank you, Scotland. Number 1 in Romania. Thank you, Seb. In America, number 24 on the US dance club songs and number 1 on the US dance mix show airplay. Number 19 in New Zealand and number 8 on the Europe Eurochart Hot 100 and number 4 in Australia and number 1 on the Australian dance charts. Let's move on to the final, third and final single of the album, Chocolate.
Joel, I'm going to say this. Chocolate is in the top 5 of my all-time favorite Kylie songs.
Wow.
I think it's timeless. The melody's beautiful. The vocal performance is beautiful. A sexy R&B slow jam by our Kylie Anne. I just cannot get enough of this, Joel. I think this is just ear candy.
It's interesting because you think, oh, it's so different. But then if you think, well, if it's in a world where Slow's the lead single, it's like, it's not that a million miles away from that.
It shows Kylie's vocals off so beautifully. I remember getting this album, first time listening to it, I'm like, wow, okay, that is this song for me. I must say though, guys, by the time the single came out and I saw the music video, I was like, uh-oh, what's going on here? Because it's a different vocal. I'm so used to the album version that when the single came out, I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, it was breathier. It was like more sultry. It was sexier. But I kind of felt like we didn't need to change the vocal.
So we've got Karen Paul again and Johnny Douglas. So like, this is a real big album for Karen. So music video, Chocolate. We got directed by Dawn Shadforth and choreography from Mark Rooney. This dynamic duo did direct and choreograph the Can't Get You Out of My Head music video and routine. Now, David Lim, when I'm saying Kylie has never danced better than in this era, we have a 40-second long ballet routine from Kylie here. This is giving technical dancer. This is stunning. It's classy. It's Kylie at Sadler's Wells. Oh, wow. Really well and truly, Kylie pushed herself in many different ways as a dancer, and the work really paid off.
It's so incredible, isn't it? Kylie spent 4 days practicing this routine. A contrast to Red Blooded Woman, which the choreographer for that video was praising Kylie, being like, oh, she picks it up so quick. She only learned it in 4 hours, something that would take other artists 3 days. But Kylie's, you know, this is a different performance. She's never done a ballet thing like this before in a video. So she's really going for it. And it must be said that Michael Rooney was nominated for Outstanding Achievement in Choreography and Music Video for his work in Chocolate at the American Choreography Awards. So shout out, very, very much deserved. This is a beautiful piece of cinema. And it's so interesting that you mentioned Dawn and Michael, who worked with Kylie in Can't Get You Out of My Head. That couldn't be more different. You know, that was futuristic Y2K video. And this is like 1920s MGM Studios musical, like a nod to old Hollywood, Kylie.
Yeah, it really was.
Especially like watching back today, I was like, wow, the lighting really is different. It's kind of like watching a theater performance where it's dark and shadowy in parts, but where the spotlight is where they want you to focus on. So it really felt like you're watching a theater production.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that. I agree with that.
Stylistically as well, we're getting very vintage Kylie here with the pleated dresses, like kind of Grecian goddess looks. I really love that red pleated dress. That's a Helmut Lang dress that's actually on display in the Melbourne Arts Centre. It's part of her collection there. So.
As it should be. As it absolutely should be.
Joel, we need to do a trip to Melbourne back home one time just so I can show you around. And we need to go to that exhibition. We need to see the Kylie exhibition.
So is that really, Kylie exhibition kind of always on?
I think it's always on, yeah. I didn't pop in this time because I've seen it before, but it really like outfits through her career. Like,
wow.
It's going to be there, and I feel like she's going to keep adding throughout her career because that's just the storage, that's just where it's going to be. So
you brought to my attention an original version of this song with a rapper on board.
Okay, I don't know if it's the original version, but
somewhere
on the internet, and this was years later, Joel, like I didn't even know this existed at the time of the body language era. Ludacris was a Rent-A-Rapper put on Chocolate. It never got released for whatever reason. I'm kind of glad it didn't because I just don't think we need a rapper on this song. Like, what's it really going to add apart from the name?
I think it's fine and it actually does work. I just don't think it needs it.
Yeah, maybe we're also like not the intended audience for it. You know, if they're trying to push this song to American radio stations.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Certain radio stations would pick it up because there's a rapper that they know on it. Of taking on the duty of making you interchangeable. The thought is sensational, it's perfect bliss. I'm ready to take the Milky Way to your Hershey's Kiss. You know my tongue's got batteries in it. The bedroom, we lose calories in it. Start families in it. Don't worry, cause the situation's under control. Beat this, Ludacris, now I'm a But yes, no, we are much better with a classy affair of Kylie at Sadler's Wells.
We don't need a rapper popping out and doing all that.
Speaking of class, I'm reminded of a quote that was bandied around this era, and I don't know whether it's specific to this single or just the body language campaign. Maybe it came from Kylie herself, but she or someone has described this era as more class than ass.
There you go. It's true. Never one to let us down. Kylie also did give us a fabulous B-side for this track, this single. The B-side's called City Games. And I think listening to this, it is an absolutely brilliant Kylie song. Listening to it, I was like, oh, this song's brilliant. I feel like it should have been on the album. I wonder if it was written after. No, it was one of the first tracks recorded for the album.
So yeah, this album has been on a journey, it seems, because it could have been this, and it's funky. It's got Indian tabla drums in there, but also like very vibey electro bass. So it feels like who worked on this? It was Karen Paul again, Richard Biff Stanner and Julian Gallagher and Al Kylie.
All our faves. So
all our faves in one place. Maybe they were just, getting a feel for what the direction of the album should be.
Absolutely. But back to Chocolate before we leave it. Kylie did a stunning world exclusive first performance of the song on Top of the Pops. Kylie, six female dancers, and she is showing this stunning technical contemporary ballet style, and just hats off to Kylie Ann.
It's Kylie like we haven't seen before, because she's in this beautiful silk turquoise dress. It just feels ethereal. Everything about this performance is just like gorgeous and effortless.
Here in the UK, number 6, 14 in Australia, David, what were you thinking?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You'd recorded it off the telly and you had the album. You were like, no, mate. Number 17 on the Europe Eurochart Hot 100, 14 in Greece, 7 in Hungary, 26 in Ireland. What were you thinking? 14 in Italy, 2 in Romania. Still, thank you, Seb. Not number one, though. And 10 in Scotland. Well, David, this really was an incredible era. You know, unfortunately, there was no Body Language World Tour. I wonder if Kylie already had that in mind and they were already like, we're going to do this one-off gig because we can service it to TV stations to promote the album and it can go on DVD as Body Language Live. I wonder if there was already thoughts of Ultimate Kylie and a Greatest Hits World Tour. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself.
Maybe she's thinking, I've toured the last two albums. Like, maybe I want to do things differently with this project.
Deserved.
And promote it differently, you know? And it kind of freed her up a little bit to go promote in America. I mean, I'm sure she came to Australia and did some promo as well. So who knows what else was in the works at the time? I struggle to remember what the rest of 2004 was like, but maybe that's for another episode.
Maybe. Maybe, baby. All right, Davo, I think we should wrap it up there, shouldn't we?
Well done, Joel. You are fully fledged. I mean, this is a graduation ceremony now, so round of applause for the JB, a full-fledged monogamous
person.
Newbie, yes.
Fantastic. It is an honor. Hopefully my badge is in the post.
I'll send you a bottle of Kylie wine. I'll come over tomorrow with a bottle of Kylie wine to celebrate. We'll do the graduation pics then.
Fantastic. You have been listening to Right Back Atcha, the 2000s pop music podcast. You can follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. You can email our hearts rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can follow me at Dr_Joel B, and you can follow him at
@LoveLimmy.
Until next time, bye.
Bye.